We're talking to Eric Hummel. Where are you in the line of where this all started? Was that your grandfather or your great-grandfather?
My grandfather and my great-uncle, my grandfather's brother, started in 1933.
Wow.
Over on Congress Avenue back in the day.
That was during the Depression?
Yeah, they started in 1933, which, you know, I always think is an amazing story because, you know, both of them were in their early 30s when they started it. And to take basically everything that they had to invest in the company right before the Depression was, it was very risky.
Yeah.
Very
risky. It was before, right before?
Yeah, right before, yeah. Figure 33, figure right 34, 35 is when it really started kicking in. But
so that was the Depression. Was that something that people saw coming? Not really, right? It was a surprise.
Yeah. So, you know, to make that investment and then all that kick in. But, you know, what ended up happening was, you know, we always have had a deli in front of the plant. And, you know, during the Depression, there'd be a line of people out in front of the deli on the weekends to just try to buy whatever they could buy.
Wow.
Yeah. My grandfather said they both tried to take care of as many people as they could during that time.
Yeah.
You know what was great is that you were in the food business, and people just don't stop eating no matter what the economic conditions are.
No.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, my grandfather used to tell me that during the war, I mean, the line down Congress Avenue, because there was, you know, such a shortage of meat and everything like that, that, you know, the people would line up all the way around White Street, which is a side street there next to Congress Avenue. But, you know, we have it in the old picture book that we have some photos from way back when, you know, you see the line of people standing out there. And, you know, we did whatever we could do back then.
That's amazing if you think about it. Your grandfather and his brother start a business. A couple years later, the Great Depression, followed by World War II.
Yeah, it was just a fun series of events, I'm sure, to be in business for.
Yeah. And now you went through COVID.
Yeah, we did.
How was that for you guys?
Well, it, you know, it kind of made us busy at a time of year when we're usually not busy. Because the real kickoff for that was, what, March of 2020?
Is yep.
That was, right?
Yeah. Because
March 17th.
Yeah. St. Patrick's Day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that we're going to forget that date at all, right?
No.
You know, usually that time of year, it's more smoked meats, kind of like, you know, daisy hams, corned beef, spiral hams, that sort of thing. You know, not a lot of hot dogs compared to, you know, the summer months anyway. And as soon as it hit, we couldn't make 1 pound package, you know, the 1 pound package hot dogs fast enough.
Really?
Yeah, well, you know, people were stocking up,
right?
Overbuying and, you know, that sort of thing, and you know, it was really hard to keep up because, you know, we told our workforce, anybody that is not comfortable coming in, do not come in. You know, we'll figure this all out one way or another, but you know, we weren't going to force anybody to come to work. You know, if you're not comfortable, you stay home.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And, you know, there were a lot of weeks where we were working with, say, 50% of our employment force. So, but, you know, I think everybody was happy they got to come to work. You know, I used to tell my wife, every time I back out of the driveway and put my car in drive to head here, I smile because I couldn't imagine, you know, I still have a buddy that's still working from home.
Wow.
And That would make me crazy, absolutely crazy.
Especially if you have young kids.
Right. Like,
oh, my God, get me out of here.
Right.
Yeah. No,
lack of alcohol.
I said to Susan, yeah. I'm glad our kids are, you know, 32 and 26 because I couldn't imagine, you know, the poor families that had to deal with that. You've got to stay home from work, do your work, whatever you're Zooming or working on your computer, you know, and then you got three-year-olds, four-year-olds, you know, they don't know what's going on.
Well, you're homeschooling. Yeah. So now you're a teacher.
Yeah.
You're the fun director. You got to keep him occupied.
Right.
And then you're trying to do your job all from home. Yeah, it was a nutty time.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it was nice that we got to come here. And, we, you know, nobody had to really jump through that many hoops here because, you know, everybody that works here has to wear so much protective gear anyway just to work. You know, you have gloves, you have bonnets, you have coats.
You guys doing all that anyway.
Yeah. So, you know, all we really needed to add was the mask because everything else is always covered on everybody. And then we, you know, a lot of people, I'm sure, bought this, but the, you know, the temperature thing right by the time clock that you just put your face in front of it and it'll tell you whether you're fine or you have a temperature or whatever. So for everybody to come in, they had to stop at that, make sure all was good, and they could punch in and go to work. And you know, we did very well, which we were really happy about.
Besides the workforce shortage, you know, because you know you told people if they're not comfortable, stay home.
Yeah.
Did you have any other shortages with ingredients or equipment, parts, or whatever?
You're seeing more of that now. Than you did a year ago. You know, meat was still readily available. But in our business, it's not so much the not getting the meat. You know, meat now, I don't know if you know what the prices are doing, but some of these things are going up 90 cents a pound this week, you know, 75 cents a pound next week. You know, and
you mean another 75 on top of the 90?
Oh yeah, wow. Oh yeah. I mean, it you know, back in the day, if it went up a couple of pennies or a nickel was always
right.
5 cents is going up a whole 5 cents.
Yeah.
Now it's just ridiculous. But then, you know, even if you happen to get meat, you're going to be lucky if you still have your plastics for your packaging.
Oh wow.
You know, because we deal with a company called Cryovac. We've been dealing with them as long as I can remember, and back orders are months down the road right now. You know, we were lucky we got some big orders in early, and we got everything we needed, but if we hadn't, you know, you're sitting here with a ton of hot dogs with no way to package them.
Damn. That would be good for us, though.
Seriously.
Like, let's get down here and cook some hot dogs.
Yeah, when's lunch?
But it's getting harder. I mean, equipment itself.
Think this is real or a way for people to raise prices and just blame it on COVID?
I think it's both.
Yeah.
You know, I know that I would say some of the meat prices are sort of man-made. But equipment shortages, you know, you're seeing there are so many freighters out right now sitting in the ocean that can't get to a port. And even if they get to the port, there's nobody really there to unload all these.
Yeah.
And even if they get them unloaded, there's such a shortage of truckers right now that you can't even get them trucked out of there.
Where the hell did all these workers go? You know what I mean?
Well, I have my opinion.
I'm going to blame the aliens. aliens came by and took them.
There was the federal government jumping in and paying extra. And, you know, at first it made sense because you don't want everyone to go under.
No.
Right.
And then after a while, it didn't make sense or whatever. But I thought that when those checks stopped, people would just start flocking back into work, you know?
Well, you know, if you think about it, though, like my sister's down in Alabama, and she actually retired from Mercedes and took a part-time job. She said, I just took a little job to keep myself busy.
Yeah, occupied.
She said, I make about $250 a week. The government was sending her $600 a week.
Oh.
She said, you know, I don't understand it. Why are they sending me $600 as opposed to what I was making? I understand that they want to help. But so, you know, figure if you're a minimum wage person, that right. big that $2,000 check is going to take you a long way.
That's true.
Plus, you were getting state unemployment.
Yeah.
So state. Yeah. Okay. I got you. So they squirreled it away.
Yeah. And so, even now, the child credit, you know, if you have a child, anybody's getting that. And, you know, one of my cousins, you know, she said, I don't know why I'm getting a child credit. You know, I'll take it, but I really don't need it. You know, but everybody's automatically getting it. And, you know, the more you keep sending free money to everybody, the more people become dependent on it.
Right.
And, you know, we usually average about 10 people a day coming in to fill out an application. You know how many we got last week? Zero.
See, I was going to say that. I was
going to say zero.
Yeah. And it's been,
really?
It's been that way for weeks after weeks. We're getting nobody coming in here to fill out an application. We're getting a couple in here asking us to sign the form that they're looking for a job.
Right.
And we say, we'll actually hire you. We need somebody.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I don't want that.
No, I don't actually work.
No.
That's exactly what they said. I don't want the job. I just need to put down that I'm looking for a job.
Wow.
You know, yeah. So, and I know we're not the only ones.
Yeah.
You know, I know some of the, in the food business, I know, you know, some of the bigger places had to stop their third shift for a while because they had nobody in to load trucks. You know, and now you're seeing the you know, a sign-on bonus now and, you know, come to work for us and this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, how many people right now are overpaying for people to work in positions that shouldn't be making what they're making?
Right.
You know, it's getting harder and harder. And, you know, I wish I saw a light at the end of the tunnel, but right now I don't see anything.
Right.
It's got to be coming soon.
Yeah.
Well, so, one would think.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know if you saw it, but, you know, what do they call it? Not ex-cons, but people that were released from prisons. That's the answer to building back up the workforce. Like that's a heck of a response on how to get people back to work.
Yeah. Just pat them down at the end.
You know.
Let me feel if you got any wieners in there.
Yeah. You know, I mean, and
seems like you gained 100 pounds since you, wait, hold on, open your jacket.
Exactly.
The back of the legs like a pack of hot dogs.
Looks like the ghost in Ghostbusters.
Yeah, Slimer. Yeah. Slimer.
Hot dogs in his mouth.
You take one, you bastard.
It always reminds me of The Far Side with a big heavy guy sweeping the floor and the baker saying, I don't understand it. I made 2 dozen extra donuts and I didn't make any money.
Exactly.
Yeah, but something's got to change soon. It's getting to be insanity. It really is.
So and we'll get the hot dogs in a second, but I'm fascinated by the business and the longevity of Hummel's Brothers Meats and hot dogs. So 1933, and then you open it in Depression, and then like 10 years later, World War II, COVID in 2020. Was there anything else in between?
Yeah, Korean War.
Vietnam,
right.
There was the Black Panthers in New Haven. Did that affect you guys?
Well, it didn't affect us as far as business-wise goes, but, you know, I remember our fathers going down to the plant, you know, just to make sure everything was going to be okay when all those rallies started to happen. But what was so nice is, you know, we were so well entrenched in that neighborhood for so many years that nobody bothered us.
No, you're good guys.
But, you know, I remember that as a kid, my dad coming home that way.
I remember seeing that stuff on television.
Like
fire hoses and German shepherds. And I was like, I asked my dad, what the hell is going on here? I didn't say hell. You know, I was like, why are they doing this?
Yeah.
And he tried to explain it to me as well as he could.
I still remember the register picture that was on the cover of a guy. You know the two statues that are in front of the courthouse here in New Haven?
Yeah.
He was sitting on one of them and put a blindfold around one of the justices in the seat.
Oh, wow.
You know, basically showing blind justice.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget that picture.
Wow.
But, and then, you know, don't forget Nixon put a price freeze on everything way back when. He put a wage freeze and a price freeze. So,
what was that about?
Well, that was when inflation was going through the ceiling.
Oh.
Which is
the win
what's
buttons.
Coming next, I think.
Whip inflation now. Remember that? Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, before long, you're going to be paying $14 for a loaf of bread.
That'd be good bread.
Yeah, eat it slowly.
Yeah, I want the butter top, the splinter top.
Yeah, yeah, but it's, and I remember that, and you couldn't do anything. You couldn't raise the price. You just had to, you know, basically eat everything, you know, because there was a price freeze, but meat was so high, you know, that you couldn't go up at all.
That's unbelievable.
So, yeah, you know, we muddled our way through that. You know, then there's been nothing really catastrophic, you know, since then. I mean, COVID was the first thing that really my generation had to deal with.
Yeah,
you know?
We've been spoiled.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we're the third generation now, and we're the ones that own the business and are running the business. So, you know, it's an interesting time for us, only because, you know, each generation has had their goals, you know, and now it's finally our turn to see what we can do with our business here.
So what are you doing differently? What did you always want to do that now you can?
Me personally or
just
us
as your
generation?
Your generation of Hummels.
To get an affordable wage. I got nothing, man.
Yeah.
I got nothing
for
you guys. Well, you know.
No, I mean, so you're not going to, you didn't go in there and like, hey, I've always wanted to try making this type of hot dog. Or, you know,
ooh,
what?
No,
the world needs red hots.
Right,
or,
yeah, right. A square hot dog.
Yes, let's try the square.
A square
hot
one.
Dog.
This way, well, you just kind of cook it each side.
It was my cousin Billy that really pushed us into making corned beef way back when.
Nice.
And I don't know if you've had our corned beef, but it is delicious. I mean, kind of melt on your tongue corned beef.
Nice.
Really?
That's the best kind.
Well, let me write this down.
The kind that melts.
Oh, yeah. Our corned beef is fantastic.
You guys
it
do
really
pastrami?
Is.
Do you pastrami too?
All right, no, but
oh,
that's
yeah, yeah.
Really
my
yeah.
favorite. I love hot pastrami sandwich.
Ah, there's
you know, if you guys ever came down here, I could get you a nice hot pastrami sandwich or corned beef sandwich.
I'll be right there.
we'll go from there. But our generation, you know, I think we're trying to grow more. Our generation has really kind of spent our money upgrading all the machinery here. All our smokehouses are all brand new.
Smokehouses.
Yeah. Well, you know, the smokehouses that were here, they actually came over from Congress Avenue when we moved here in 1972. So, but, you know, they were originally at Congress Avenue. So
Congress Avenue became a tough road.
It did. It did. It's
tough,
you know,
area.
It's a lot nicer now than it
yes.
was, you know, way back then.
The only reason I know that is my friend and I had this video deck recorder that needed repair, and this was in the late 70s. We took the bus to New Haven Green. We get off. We don't know where the hell we are. We're like, we got to go to this store, and we go up to a cop that's on the corner, and we say, how do we get there? And he starts going down. Let's see. You take this and take that. He goes, then there's Congress. He goes, you don't want to go down Congress Avenue.
Right. He was like an early GPS.
And that's the only reason I know that in the late 70s, that wasn't a place a young kid wants to walk down the street with a electronic device.
Recalculating, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. You know, that probably wasn't a good idea.
Well, you wouldn't have had it along to carry.
That's right. Wouldn't have had to carry it.
Someone had carried it for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, absolutely. They had valet service.
Exactly.
We'll be more
right.
than happy to take this from you.
There you go, see?
But much better now.
Yes.
Well, yeah, but, you know, Congress Avenue back in the day, though, you know, at the other end, more toward the boulevard, is where you had Hull's Brewery.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
That's right. We
us.
Forget
yeah.
that.
Right. But we all grew, you know, Spring Street
yeah.
in New Haven. Do you guys know where Spring Street is?
No.
It's kind of a couple blocks away from Congress Avenue, okay? But there is a natural spring that runs under that area.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's what Hull's used, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what we used. We all drew the same water. And you talk about clean, clean water.
In New
wow.
Haven?
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. That spring was so pure.
That produced enough water for you guys and for Hull's?
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
Damn.
Is that still operating?
I have no idea. Because there's really no manufacturers around there anymore.
Oh,
so
wow.
I don't know who's pulling that water. But, you know, when we opened the facility. You know, we still call it the new plant. We moved here in 72.
That's funny.
But, you know, we had to put all sorts of filters, you know, water filters as it comes into the building. You know, because we, you know, our formulation and our flavor and everything was based on the water being drawn out of Spring Street.
So, how far away are you from Spring Street?
Not enough to suck the water over.
You knew exactly where I was going.
Yep.
Yeah.
Run a pipe.
Big vacuum.
Ain't his first rodeo here.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, that's one thing each generation as they come through here is, you know, nobody screws with the formula. The recipe that our grandfathers started with is the same recipe that we use.
Right.
You know, you know, let's do this cheaper. Let's do, you know, my grandfather always had a saying, which I probably said to you before, but if you try to make a cheap product, somebody's always going to make something cheaper. But if you make the best quality product you can make, very few people can make it better than you. And that's each philosophy, each generation's philosophy, is we're going to make the best quality product we can make. We're not going to try to compete with, you know, these big, huge national brands that can work, you know, right up to the different levels on water. You know, their QC guy can get them within a fraction of, you know, the max. But we don't work that way. Our formula is our formula. And, you know, sometimes it's a very expensive product, and then when prices come down a little bit, we go down with the prices.
Yeah.
But
that's interesting. A lot of companies wouldn't do that, you know?
Well,
I can only imagine what it would be like in a boardroom of one of these big companies. Like, if you came up with an idea, hey, what if we spent a couple of cents more on something and it's going to be better? And the room would go silent and they would look at you like,
you hear crickets.
You're nuts. You just ruined your career with that.
Absolutely.
Get out.
Yeah, you don't understand.
Right.
We're not here to make a better product.
Who
we're here
person?
To deliver
we're
for
profit,
our stockholders.
Profit.
Yeah.
What hedonism is this?
Yeah.
They'd hand you a box of stuff. Hey, why is all my stuff in this box?
Cool. Yeah, and who's that big guy waiting for me, too?
I'm going to a better office?
Wait, you're escorting me to my car?
Wow. I'm getting a better parking space?
Wow, I get to go home early? That's great.
Yeah, all is good. But even in the meat business, though, a lot of companies started to cheapen their formula, cheapen their recipe, and, you know, it's going to bite you in the ass, especially if you've been around for a long time.
Yeah.
I know you're not going to tell us the exact, you know, formula or ingredients or whatever, but what are some of the things, if you're making a hot dog, you want to put in? You got to have good meat.
Well, my grandfather would always say good meat and good spices. He said that's the secret of making a good hot dog.
Nice.
But, you know, like you said, though, you need to start with good meat. You know, when you bite into our hot dog and start to chew it, you feel the texture of it, all right, as opposed to you buying something that's like a 69 cents a pound hot dog.
Yeah, you'll find a
and
bone.
And you bite into that, and it's like mush.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
You understand the difference there?
Yes.
Oh, you know what the difference is? And people will be able to understand this if they're not getting the hot dog analogy. Because I know exactly what you're saying. It's like the difference of having grandma's meatball or going out to a restaurant and having a breadcrumb crushed together with a little bit of meat in it.
Yes.
Exactly.
That's the difference right there. And you're right. Because I've had those cheap hot dogs. And I've had, of course, the Hummels, my number one choice.
Oh, yeah.
I only have the cheap ones when I'm going somewhere else where, you know, it's a cheap uncle or something.
Yeah, I love the Red Hots. The Red's my favorite.
And you can tell immediately, you're right. You could tell.
But, you know, if I go down to Yankee Stadium, you know, I'll get a hot dog. And my son, really? You're going to get that? I said, we're at the ballpark.
Yeah.
You got to have a hot dog. I know it's not ours.
It's kind of required.
You could muddle through it, I think, you know. But yeah, that's, you know, our generation has really, you know, kind of rebuilt this facility so we can go on for years. I mean, we're approaching 90 years.
Man.
And, you know, our goal is just to keep going, you know, but without the new machinery, the new packaging, you know, growing up, and I know you guys aren't from around here, but
I am, I'm from Connecticut.
You are?
Yeah.
I'm across the pond. I'm Long Island.
So, AJ, so I'm from Connecticut. I grew up listening to WPLR.
Got That's on, a good station, I heard.
You know?
Those two idiots in the morning, though. Forget about it.
Morning show's horrible. Rest station good.
Those guys suck.
So I got on PLR and then eventually moved around the country doing radio. Met AJ on Long Island and then moved back to do mornings on WPLR. So
I'm an import.
Yeah.
That is why I actually used to listen to you guys on Long Island.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much. See, yeah, I told someone listened.
That's no, right, but I was able to. I was able to catch it, you know, coming to work here. And then when you guys came to PLR, I said, "Well, that's good. Now they're local guys. I like it." But I thought you both of you were from Long Island.
No, just me.
Well, Long Island.
Long Island. Long Island. How you doing? Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. You look
but,
good.
How you doing?
How you doing? Good.
But you know, back in the day, we had the 10-pound boxes, and you know, it took us years to even come out with a 5-pound box. But growing up, what did you do? You went to the deli. Give me 6 hot dogs. Give me 8 hot dogs. Whatever. 2
right,
hot dogs.
Right.
You
know,
very, entire counter.
What you did, what you sold through the meat department was infinitesimal. I mean, you hardly sold anything to them. Now more people are just grabbing things from the meat department. So our packaging had to change. You know, with a loose 10-pound box, you've got a 7 to 10 day shelf life. Now with our new packaging, you know, we could put on 75 days if we wanted to.
Wow.
And what's nice is, you know, when the government finally started to put all kinds of regulations and quality control regulations and all sorts of stuff that they added, you know, say within the last 10 years, it was good for a company like ours because we were already doing these things. And what it did was, it put some people out of business that shouldn't have been manufacturing food anyway. You know, you've got to be able to, our quality control guy, he does so much testing every day. You know, everything is tested. Everything is tested.
That would be a fun job.
And I wouldn't want it.
Is he heavy?
No, but he's, you know, he's in his little room like a little mad scientist working all his little machines in there. But
no one talks too much.
He even tests, you know, something that comes back, you know, say like if it's a broken seal or anything, you know, our guys will bring it back and we'll even test that to see, you know, what kind of bacteria has grown in a loose cryovac and things like that. And our levels are so low, even with a busted seal, which is amazing. So, you know, our regular packaging, we have great shelf life on that. And you know, the holiday time, the Memorial Days, the 4th of July's, where growing up, it was just a nightmare because everything, like I said, you had no shelf life. You had 7 to 10 days, so you couldn't, say, start 2 months in advance building up your supply and your stock and everything. You did it on the fly every day. You know, we worked till 11, 12 o'clock at night back then, and you know, you would order, say, to run your route, you know, I need 50 10-pound boxes. Well, you get 10. Go out and sell those, come back, we'll have packed more. You know, and that's how you did everything.
That's right. You had the Hummel trucks, the old school, like, milk trucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, the old green ones.
Yeah.
Metros.
I remember seeing those.
Yeah, Metros.
You guys are all about meat. Like, if you go to your website and look at the list of meats,
uh-huh,
it's a lot, and it's all good stuff. Liverwurst. And
oh, I love liverwurst.
Turkey breast.
Braunschweiger, ooh.
You guys never really got into, or have you, and I just I don't see it here on the website, the sauces to put on the hot dogs.
No.
That's somebody else's gig.
Yeah,
well, you know, that's stuff that's just private labeled for them anyway. You know, you got to get somebody else to do that.
Oh, so you wouldn't even. I gotcha.
Okay, all right.
Like, you see Boar's Head mustard? Boar's Head is not making their mustard.
Right,
no, yeah.
Okay.
There's a sudden label on, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So you didn't want to get into letting somebody, some other company have your name on the jar. I got you.
Well, and you know, I don't see people getting revved up for Hummel mustard. You know,
yeah.
I mean, they could.
We could be missing the boat on a
moneymaker here. But.
No, if you guys made like a hot dog kind of relish or something, I'd be interested in trying that.
Like an onion,
because
like
an onion kind of relish,
onions,
or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give you a website to pull up, okay?
Uh-oh. All right.
It's called cowtowndogs.com. cowtowndogs.com.
Cowtown Dogs.
Yep. This is a guy in Texas that I've been working with, and they got their website up. They still don't have their hot dogs yet. They're getting shipped out in a couple of weeks. But look at, you know, it's exactly what you're talking about. Some of those, the onion sauce that they came up with. You know, he was telling me in the beginning they
it's a hot dog in a bun. It almost looks like a Twinkie with a cowboy hat.
Nice. But,
yeah.
Oh, it's funny.
But they
that's
use,
Twinkie the kid.
A nice
it looks like Twinkie the
that's
kid.
That's Twinkie the kid. Copyright infringement.
Twinkie the kid.
It is.
Like
it. He turned wiener.
Oh, look at this sauce on this. Oh. The first picture that comes up.
Oh, hell yes.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes. But what are you going to do? Are you gonna start selling that? Or?
Well, it's going to be a food truck. And this is a guy, you know, we've been working together for about a year and a half trying to put all this together. And these guys, they sampled hot dog after hot dog after hot dog. You know, they scoured the country to find what they wanted. And, you know, they've settled on ours. But I, what they're doing, you'll get down in their website to the Red Hot. I think they call them Texas Hots down there.
Okay.
I think that's going to be a home run for him down in Dallas. But the onion sauce that they made, they started with adding a little bit of Dr. Pepper and then cooking that down into the onions and
oh,
everything.
Oh, wow. They ran it down really. Nice.
But then they said they went to the original company that made Dr. Pepper, that I forget what they call it now, but they use pure sugar in it. And when they added that, it started to caramelize the onions so much better that it made
man.
That flavor so much
right.
better.
The sugar.
That yeah, yeah. And, you know, talking about that, what one of the things I do with our kielbasa is I'll take it and slice it up, you know, into little pieces, and then I brown that, drain it, and then I add a little bit of barbecue sauce and just simmer that down till the brown sugar starts to caramelize. It is amazing.
Well, I love kielbasa.
Never done that.
With.
Try it.
Yeah, I love kielbasa.
Yeah,
so what's the deal? This is a food truck guy, or is he making the relishes, or?
They're making all their stuff. Yeah.
Can you order this?
He hasn't even started yet. Like I said, I've got his hot dog still in the cooler. they'll be down to him by the end of the month. But
that's you know, a great topping for a hot dog, coleslaw. You ever have coleslaw on a hot dog?
Yeah.
The best.
I like coleslaw on a corned beef sandwich.
Okay, that's a new one.
So I know this is going
to
be
really?
A question.
To me.
Oh, go ahead. You guys go.
To me. Sorry, I just salivate like Pavlov's dog.
Really? You never put coleslaw on a corned beef sandwich?
No.
Do you do a sauerkraut?
I've done sauerkraut.
Yeah,
not
I've
coleslaw.
Done sauerkraut.
Yeah, coleslaw. That's a game changer right there.
Oh, man.
Coleslaw sounds good, actually.
Yeah, plus I'm starving right now, so.
It's really good. Really good.
If you have good coleslaw, you could almost put it on anything.
You can. Ice cream, yep. Grandma?
There's nothing worse than bad coleslaw.
Oh, my
you
God.
It has that kind of chemical taste.
Yeah,
oh.
It's liquid. It's all liquid.
Like a bad diner, you know.
Like,
like a bad diner, you know, I got to get home real quick because this is gonna get
exactly. Exactly. Honey, we're not going to the movie. I need to stop home real quick.
Yeah, you may want to just wait in the car for a moment. Ignore the sounds you hear from the house. You might see some flashing in the windows.
You guys, Hummel Brothers provides a lot of the hot dogs to the most famous hot dog joints in Connecticut.
We try.
Yeah. Now, do you have like a top five? That would put you in a bad spot.
Yeah,
but
if you mentioned top
you
five.
Think?
The other thousand will be really mad.
Yeah.
Well, let's put it this way. I can go in this direction for you.
Okay.
Toppings?
Now, see, I'm just a mustard guy.
Really?
Every once in a while, you know, life on the edge is coleslaw, sauerkraut. But usually I'm just mustard.
Just mustard.
That's it. Yeah. So, you know, if I want, say, a charbroiled hot dog, I'll go to Glenwood. If I want a deep-fried hot dog, I'll go down to the Cricket or to, what's the other place that I'm forgetting?
Doesn't Frankie's
there?
Make that?
You're putting
do
in
they them. Deep fry? I don't think they.
I don't think
deep
they
fry.
Deep fry.
No, they grill.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have certain places that do it split on the griddle, like Savin Rock, the old Savin Rock.
Yeah, butterfly. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it's hard to narrow down which hot dog stands you like the best because each
way
they make it has a different flavor.
They're all different each
First of all,
yeah.
when you have a good quality hot dog, it's really hard to screw it up.
Yeah, really.
Well, have you ever talked to a hot dog joint and said, look, we love how you're doing everything, and we love that you're buying our hot dogs, but you're going to have to change your role. It's horrible.
No.
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 You don't get into that.
Nope.
That's up to them.
Exactly.
You know, because it's the worst thing when you get a hot dog and the bottom splits open.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
Or yeah. it's just a bad roll. It's like, this would be such a great experience if the carrying device of the hot dog was better.
Yeah, if it wasn't in my lap right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's why that, you know, in that website I just showed you, they went with a brioche bun.
Oh,
Jesus.
Brioche is awesome.
Yeah, but, you know, when you cut that open, you could put so many toppings on there, and it's not going to just fall apart on you.
Or a pretzel roll is good, too.
Yeah.
That's
I'm
nice.
Not a pretzel roll
that,
guy.
That whole bit, but that's a very formidable bun. You can do anything. You can drop an atom bomb in there. It will not bust apart. It's awesome.
Well, there's nothing worse when you get a chili dog and, you know, you're wearing half of it because the roll fell apart.
Exactly.
On you, right?
Yeah. Like seconds to eat it, but meal's too hot.
So you're not a catch-up on the hot dog guy.
No, sir.
He's not 8 years old, no.
Yeah, usually, you remember the old hot dog cart days when I used to do it with, you know, with PLR. The cutoff for ketchup is 11 years old.
Yeah, exactly.
It really is. But you know what's funny? I had this discussion with my wife, and I don't know, it was a few years back. I tried ketchup on a hot dog. It's really not that bad. It wouldn't be my first choice, but when you have it.
You know what's better? You want sriracha or barbecue sauce?
Yeah. So I have this, you know the dinosaur sauce out of Stanford?
No.
I will take, it's got a kick to it.
Yeah.
And it used to be a little company out of Stanford. Now it's a pretty big deal. But I will take a hummus hot dog, split that, grill it, you know, grill the bun, you know, toast the bun.
Right.
Put a piece of cheese down, put the hummus hot dog on top. And then I put a little bit of dinosaur sauce and a little bit of mustard. And I got to tell you, it's a miracle.
Are you doing this in a couple minutes? Or?
You know what we should have done, Eric? We should have worked this out where we were doing this while we're eating hot dogs.
Yeah, that would have been much.
You should have come down here. We should have just done it from the deli, and we could be cooking as we're talking.
That's you know?
Right there. Hang on.
Okay, that's going to be part two.
Hold the phone. I want to be sandwich.
You've never come down and done the whole tour thing here,
have
you?
No, we haven't.
No.
It really is something to see, you know. One of the machines that we bought was a machine that my grandfather told me they would never make. It would never exist. And that's a machine that can actually link and hang natural casing.
Really?
Growing up, that was all done by hand.
You
had tables full of people that just stood there and spun them. That's how you did it.
Wow.
Now they have the wiener later.
Yeah, but, I mean, that increases production so much and takes out a lot of your labor expense, which is great.
Wow. That's funny that, you know, you guys were doing it, and someone said, man, wouldn't it be nice if we have a machine?
Yeah.
And your grandfather said, that'll never happen.
Yeah. He was the same guy that was really pissed off when my father bought the first hand truck.
Right.
You know, what do you need that for? You pick it up, you carry it. You know,
really but old that, school.
That's how it was, though.
Right. Yep.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, back we used to distribute tulip hams. I don't know if you remember those way back when. They were hams from Holland, and they were some of the best imported ham, like a boiled ham, you could get.
Okay.
And when the load would come in, this is when we were still on Congress Avenue. You know, each case was 76 pounds and up.
Ooh.
So we would have one guy pick that up, push it over his head, hand it to a guy standing on top of a pallet. He'd take that, hand it up to the guy who's straddling the rails to now put them on a shelf way in the back there.
Sounds like you're doing that right now.
Yeah.
I mean, but you think about how wrong that was.
Yeah, those guys had arms and shoulders, will not believe, though.
This is why there's OSHA now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you look at the pictures, you know, from the old days. That's why everybody, you know, they had huge shoulders and they were all stocky.
Right. They died at 45, but.
but growing up, when we got all the hanging meat here, you know, everything is boxed now. It's not like it used to be. But every Friday, the beef would come and you would have to, you would get one guy on one side, one guy on the other. You'd hook, you would each hook, and you'd swing the hind quarter up. You'd have somebody set the hook and then, you know, push that down the rail and do the next one.
Wow.
And then after you did that, you get to the four quarters. You know, and four quarters, especially when you're the guy that sets the hook, is you had to learn how to set that between the ribs very quickly, because you got guys that are picking up, you know, about 300 pounds to literally in the air so you could set the hook.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a hell of a sandwich.
You learned how to do that job very quickly.
Yeah. Or you weren't liked.
Or hooked.
Or you didn't have any fingers either.
Right. Or you're the next person on the hook.
Did you do that job
growing up?
Yeah. We all had to.
Oh.
You know, and then when you were bad, you got sent to the packing room.
Oh. Why is that bad?
That's what term get sent packing means.
It's a thankless job. It really is. I mean, the people that we have, I love, and they're great people. And it's different than what it used to be because, you know, when we were doing it, like I said, it was all 10-pound boxes, and you would just the guy would cut all the hot dogs off the tree of hot dogs, put them on a table.
Do you have a hot dog tree?
Well, it's
that's cool.
Called a hot dog.
It's
tree.
A it's magic what garden.
You hang the smoke sticks off of, and then the tree goes into the house, and it's smoked. But when he would throw them on the table, you would have to pick out the hot dogs, and you would decide this is a 6 to the pound, this is an 8 to the pound, this is a 10 to the pound. So you stood there and literally worked 4 different 10-pound boxes. So, you know, how long it would take you to fill a 10-pound box was just boring.
Yeah.
I hear you. Yeah, not very stimulating, yeah.
Yeah. I'd rather just be eating it. That's got to be some smell at the factory.
Oh. It when you go out, like if it's a rainy, kind of a rainy, misty day, you could just walk outside. I've actually smelled it getting off the highway, the hickory smoke.
Oh, because it doesn't go up because
right.
it's being
it
held.
Kind of it's low.
Hangs, yeah. Ah,
right.
That's awesome.
Right. Yeah, and you become so immune to it that, you know, you don't realize that you always smell like hickory smoke.
Yeah.
You know, until I got married, my wife said, yeah, you're not coming to bed smelling like a
hickory.
Yeah,
take a shower.
Smoke. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a wiener.
But, you know. But yeah, I remember, you know, when I was little, and my dad would come home, and you'd kiss him hello. We had, you know, smells like the shop.
Yes,
it's just how it was.
Dad tastes beefy.
No, but it, you know, to be able to still cook, well, not cook, but smoke our product with real hickory, that's what gives it that really good flavor. You know, some of the less expensive brands use a liquid smoke. And if you know anybody
good.
That does ribs and things like that, a lot of them will add that liquid smoke. But when you have that in the hot dog, you get a very acidic, overly smoky flavor.
Yeah, you don't want that.
And, you know, ours has that nice, mild, you know, but real hickory smoke taste to it. But, you know, so we're fortunate that we still make it the old-fashioned way.
We are fortunate, actually.
I am starving. we are the fortunate ones.
Seriously, man. I could go for a rack right now of hot dogs. I eat the whole tree.
See, that's why you got to come down, because the taste, when a hot dog is done cooking, because a hot dog is fully cooked, you know that, right?
Yeah.
So as soon as it's done cooking, figure when you make a hot dog at home and you put it on a plate and it sits there for a few minutes, what happens? It shrivels.
Yeah, right.
So when the hot dogs are fully cooked and the alarm goes off, you immediately put on the showers, you shower down, and you're trying to quickly bring down the external temperature as quickly as you can with cold water. And then from there, they'll be moved into the holding cooler until the internal temperature comes down quick enough. You know, it's got to come down to a certain degree or you can't pack it. You know, to pack a warm product, it's just... I mean,
it's going to be condensation
inside.
It's going
to be bad.
Yeah.
You know, but to have that flavor when the alarm goes off, to have a hot dog that's just done smoking and cooking in a smokehouse, once you chill it, you just can't duplicate it. You know, as good as our hot dogs are.
Oh, that's amazing.
When you open a smokehouse and just take one right off a stick and, oh, so you got to come down.
Well, I'm going to do that because Where else can you experience that?
Right. At what time is this happening?
Yeah. Well,
I'll be in the green car in the parking lot.
I was going to say, you guys will probably have to come down early and see somebody else because I probably won't be here that early.
Oh, yet. Wow. Wow.
You know? Well, figure, these guys start getting here at 5 in the morning.
Oh.
You know, I'll always take the late shift.
Yeah, I hear you. Yep. You've earned it.
Yep.
Eric, just Connecticut, we talk about Connecticut, and we're between New York and Boston, and we feel like we don't have this identity. Our identity is great food, whether it be hot dogs, pizza,
exactly,
burgers, you go down the line.
Yep.
But think about how lucky we are to have the world's greatest hot dog manufacturer in New Haven.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That works.
Yeah, when the mayor was down here for National Hot Dog Day.
Oh.
I said, you know, Mr. Mayor, I got to tell you, it's always pizza, 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 pizza. I said, do you realize the story that you have sitting right here in your own town? I said, I don't think you ever think about it.
No.
I mean, it's a very rare, for a company like ours to get into their third generation, it's rare. You know, family businesses are the hardest things to be in, and especially to get to a third generation. You've got to get... like our generation, everybody's got to put their egos aside. And what do you do best? And that's what you do. Not, well, why am I doing this? Why can't I do what he does? Or why can't I do what she does?
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. You find out what you do right and you go forward. And that's how we become successful, our generation. I always say I give my last dollar away. My cousin Billy has the first dollar he's ever made. Who would you have running your finances? Certainly not me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I try to do what I do well enough and let them handle that stuff.
That mayor doesn't look like he eats hot dogs anyway.
If he does, you probably see it because he's so thin. You see it,
in his stomach. Right. Look like a snake that ate a mouse.
Just have a hot dog?
I did see him eat one. He did have one in the deli.
Really?
But not exactly a huge man, is he?
No.
No. Oh, I love hot dogs. I'm going to take you up on this offer. AJ's going to, and I are going to come down. We're going to have some hot dogs right off the stick.
Yes.
All right. Anytime.
I want that corned beef sandwich with the coleslaw.
Oh, man.
Well, thank you for all the hot dogs and the memories and being part of the WPLR family.
Well, thank you guys for everything that you've done. I know you guys are so active in the community and everything that you do, and you know how I feel about giving back to the community.
Yeah.
It's so important.
No doubt.
I always tell everybody, if you're able to get out of bed and have a job and you have your kids are healthy, then you owe the community something. And you can do it either with money or time. But, these nonprofits need both. So, I appreciate everything you guys do outside of what you do for a living because you guys, and I don't know if everybody knows that about the two of you, how much you do for nonprofits out there that's not part of your job. You do it because that's the kind of guys that you are. And, you are a compliment to your station and to our state. I know you guys do so much, and I appreciate everything that you guys do. Because the more you guys do, it's the less people ask me to do.
You should be on the radio.
Could you tell our boss that?
No, but really, I appreciate you guys and thank you for everything.
Thank you.
And thanks for calling me and doing this interview.
Oh my God,
it was a lot of fun.
This is just a setup to the next one.
Oh yeah, now we just
when you the live and in person version.
I want to call Eat Fest.
Thank you, Eric.
All right, you guys be well. I'll talk to you soon.
All right,
sounds
brother,
good.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Eric Hummel, Hummel Brothers Incorporated.
I am so hungry. You should just go there right now. Let's just knock the door down.
What a nice guy.
Very nice
guy. You can see why they're so successful.
Yep.
I love his grandfather's philosophy. If you make something cheap, anyone will be able to beat you at that.
Yeah.
Make it cheaper.
Make the best quality.
You make something great.
Yeah,
you'd
make it
be
tough.
The best.
Yep. They can't beat you.
Can't beat you.
Nice.
Can't beat their meat.
I am so hungry.
Oh, man. Can you imagine what a hot dog right out of the dog thing tastes like?
I want to find out. Yep. We'll bring the buns.
I'm sure they have something there that's great.
I don't care. In my hand, I don't care.
You know what? If you eat them in your hand, you'll have more room for hot dogs. The buns won't be taking up space.
This is true. Okay, cool.
All right, there's the plan.
So 2 dozen.